And I want to give glory to God because I want to start out. The title of the message this morning is, He is Risen Indeed. How many know that Christ is no longer dead? He no longer dies. We celebrate Good Friday and people mourn, but I want you to know that mourning is not part of the celebration of resurrection. We need not mourn because without His death there would be no resurrection. We need not mourn because without His death we would not have eternal life. I want you to know that Christ died very sacrificially on that Friday many thousand years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but He only did it once. He didn't stay dead. And He certainly didn't weep after dying. He had business to do. He went to the bowels of Hades and preached to the captives. Preached to those that were under the law and said, I've come to die for you. Scriptures say that He led captivity captive. It wasn't a time to mourn. Yes, there was mourning then because people didn't understand, for Pete's sakes. Even the disciples didn't understand on resurrection day. They went to the tomb to take care of the body. They didn't even believe He was alive. But there's more historical evidence for His resurrection than any other historical event. He appeared not only to His disciples, He appeared to over 500 at once. It's resurrection day. But I want you to know it's always resurrection day. Every day is resurrection day. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about first the resurrection of Christ and then the resurrection of you and I. How many know we've been resurrected? Turn to somebody and say, I've been resurrected. You say, well, I don't feel resurrected. Well, yet, let me tell you, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you've been given a new life. You've been resurrected. The second resurrection, the resurrection of these dilapidated bodies that we have, one day we'll receive a new body. How many are ready for that? I said, Lord, let me just see my body that You got for me just a couple of times, you know. Just get a snapshot of it so I can carry it in my wallet. See, this is going to be my new body. Little Philip, born with Down syndrome, attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls. Typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip with his differences, according to an article in Leadership magazine. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought legs, pantyhose containers, the kind that looked like large eggs. Each receiving one, the children were told to go outside on that lovely spring day, find some symbol for new life, and put it in the egg-like container. Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, the students returned to the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether a flower, butterfly, or leaf, the class would ooh and ah. Then one was open, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, that's stupid, that's not fair, somebody didn't do their assignment. Philip spoke up, that's mine. Philip, you don't ever do things right, the student retorted. There's nothing there. I did so do it right, Philip insisted. I did do it, it's empty, the tomb was empty. Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. He died not long ago. Afterward, from an infection most normal children would have shrugged off. At the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay on it an empty pantyhose egg. The truth, my friend, is there's nothing in the tomb. The truth, my friend, my brother, my sister, is you and I don't talk about death the way the earth people talk about death. Death is not a finality, but a door. Death is not a finality, but a graduation. Death is not a finality, it's a rejoicing time. We need to look at all the other things surrounded by the resurrection. Jesus told his disciples, the Pharisees, and people at large that his intent was to raise from the dead. The thing that was to put to death was sin. Christ did not succumb to death, but overcame it and overcame sin. So I want to talk about the resurrection of Christ. In your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15:14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. It's the crux of everything we are as Christians. It's the doorknob to all of the content of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the entryway. It's the exit. It's the embodiment of everything that heaven did was the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, let's go home. If there is no resurrection, let's live, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, we can do whatever we want, because this, after all, is the only life that we'll ever live. Anybody gets in our way, we'll kill them. We want something, we take it. If this is all there is. Come on, somebody. Why should I live by any rules if I'm going to die in a few years anyway? We know that every soul will live eternally, either with God or without God. So not only are there repercussions, there are rewards. And Christ was the first of the resurrected. Number one, the actuality of the resurrection. You know, no one disputes the death of Christ on the cross. It's an historical fact. It's in the history books. But many argue about the resurrection. What is the evidence that he rose from the dead? Well, number one, all four Gospels speak of the resurrection from the dead. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. They all talk about the stone being rolled away, the empty grave, the angelic message, his appearance to disciples, appearance to certain women. On different occasions, he appeared to all 11 of his disciples. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 1, 3, or if it's up on the screen, turn your Bibles anyway. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. It says, to him, to whom he also, in verse 3, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In verse 22, it says, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so the resurrection was the qualification to be one of the first apostles. It wasn't his life. It wasn't the miracles. It wasn't any of that. It was being witness to the resurrection of our Lord. Because when he resurrected from the dead, he took everything out of the way. There's no more reason to be afraid. There's no more reason to have unbelief because he resurrected from the dead. Come on, somebody. Death is certainly final. If you've ever been around anybody that died or is dying, death is something that's final. You see their bodies dying. But the good news is the only thing that's dying is this flesh. Paul declares a list of witnesses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. When you're there, smile. Show me your pearly whites this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. Go ahead, turn in your Bibles. Get some exercise with those fingers. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaking very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. As one scholar put it, The entire New Testament is written in the light of the resurrection fact. If there was no resurrection, there's no sense in anything that Jesus did. Of course, the best possible explanation has been tried to explain by unbelievers throughout the history since the resurrection of Christ. And we've talked about it before. Number one is the swoon theory. By the way, if you get a chance to see a movie, what's the name of the movie, honey? The Cause for Christ. If you get a chance to see it, it's out in theaters now in Kokomo. It's just in a few theaters, but it is in Kokomo is where we went? Yes, we went to Kokomo. The Cause for Christ. You need to see that. It's about Lee Strobel's seeking, and the thing that he tried to disprove was the resurrection. And in the midst of trying to disprove the resurrection, he got saved. Because there's more than enough proof that Jesus rose from the dead. But number one, people think that he just swooned. There's a lot of unbelievers that say he didn't really die on the cross. He just passed out. He lived life. I read an article once that said he recovered and married Mary Magdalene and had children. How many know that's not true? Christ didn't swoon. He died. Another theory, of course, was Jesus died, but he never rose. The disciples stole the body and had a lookalike. You know, they got somebody dressed up like Christ and went around telling people that he was the risen Lord. How many know that's not true? The third thing is the whole thing is just a myth, like Greek mythology. Something to rally people around. There was no Christ, there was no disciples, nothing like that. But how many know history would disprove that? Another falsity is the hallucination that all the disciples were so distraught over his life that over 500 people saw an hallucination. You know, it was just, you know, like a seance or something. Another theory says that he rose from the dead is just a manner of speaking. Just a manner of speaking. He didn't really raise from the dead. It's just like saying he is almost dead, but he didn't die and he didn't raise from the dead. How many know my Lord was dead? In the film, if you go see it in the film, one of the things that's pointed out was when the sword was stuck in his side, water and blood flowed. The only way that you get water from the lungs and the blood at once is if the person is dead. Jesus died, but he didn't remain dead. There were eyewitness accounts. The Bible affirms and the witnesses give complete veracity. The Bible speaks of over 500 at once in 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some had fallen asleep. I want to know if you could get 500 people to agree to a lie and get it to be alive for the rest of their lives, try it. You can't even get 10 people to lie very long. Look at Watergate. Come on, somebody. You can't even get 10 sinners to agree to lie for a long time and have it cover up. Somebody's going to break. So the proof is in the pudding. Christ rose. Over 500 people said it that he rose. Many died. Many still die for the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Another point is the transformed disciples. At first they were afraid and disillusioned. They did not believe. They went in hiding. The women, as I said, went to minister to the corpse of Christ on day 3. But the change after the resurrection was unmistakable. The same disciples that couldn't stand with him at the crucifixion stood in the temple and preached about the resurrected Christ. They were beaten and thanked God for the beating. And all of them died for their faith. Thirdly, the resurrection could be easily disproved. All they had to do was produce a corpse. While the disciples said he's risen from the dead, all they'd have to do is bring the corpse from the grave and say, there, you're a bunch of liars. Here is the corpse of Christ. No one produced a corpse. And there's a movie out, Risen, that talks about going and looking for a body. There is no historical evidence for anybody looking or searching for a corpse ever. No, Rome did not pay people to go look for a corpse because they knew there was no corpse to be found. Come on, somebody. Another proof of the resurrection is the very survival of Christianity. If it were false, Christianity would be based on wishful thinking. It's not. And the continuing fact of His presence. Every believer knows that Jesus Christ is not dead. He's very much alive. How many know Jesus is alive? All of us have got to rely on faith and experience. Jesus pronounced blessing on faith. He said in John chapter 20, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Faith is a valid confirmation according to Hebrews 11:1. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not sight, it's knowledge. God opens our eyes to the truth. Jesus Christ is no longer dead. He no longer faces death. He doesn't die every time that we mourn on Good Friday. He'll never die again. Christ is alive forevermore. Some religions say that whenever we take communion together, that Christ dies again. How many know? The scriptures say He entered the holy place once for all. The form of Christ's person. He was bodily resurrected. John chapter 20 says, when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He looked the same. He didn't come as another person. He changed form a couple times, but He looked the same. He ate in their presence. He had the marks in His body. Christ rose bodily. But He also had a spiritual dimension about Himself. Now as they said these things, Luke 24 says, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. He just appeared in the room. I personally can't wait to do that kind of stuff. How many know? No gas stations in heaven. He appeared and He vanished at will. He was no longer a physical, but a spiritual body with flesh. He said, touch me and see that I have not flesh, that spirit does not have flesh and bone like I do. His raising from the dead was mysterious. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20, verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Why? Because she had watched Him die. So incredulous was His appearance to her that she was in shock. The disciples on the road to Damascus did not recognize Him. But when Jesus spoke the name of Mary, she recognized Him right away, Rabboni. And when Jesus blessed the meal and the disciples, He began to pray. Their eyes were opened. My friend, when Jesus speaks to us, when He answers our prayer, we know that He is alive. The significance of His resurrection cannot be touched in 15 minutes. But just in a way of reminding you, the significance of His resurrection deified Him, pointed out His lordship and His sonship. He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Thomas declared Him my Lord and my God in John 20. The best apologetic, the best argument for His deity is the resurrection. It is the declaration of divine power. Acts 2:24 says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not impossible that He should be held by it. The curse of the garden was death. God said, in the day that you eat the fruit of the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. On the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. Death became the curse for man. No matter how good you were, all you were going to face is death. Jesus came to beat our enemy called death. Our minds need to shift to the truth of heaven. See, we look at death as something to be afraid about. The death of our bodies is something graduation. Come on, someone. It's graduation. If Christ did not raise from the dead, we are of all most men, the scriptures say, pitiable. Only use once that word, by the way. It means completely embarrassed, completely done, if his resurrection is not true. But my friend, I'm here to tell you, he will never know death again. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I don't know about you, but I want to follow somebody that has beat death. I want to be around somebody that's beat death. I want to be sure that his name is mentioned by me every day, because I want to go where he is. Revelations 1 and verse 17, John describing his initial meeting of the resurrected Lord. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Hallelujah. He's alive forevermore. Not only is he alive, but he have keys of Hades and of death. What's that mean? He controls that underworld. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid about. Jesus said, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am he who lives, listen, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. His resurrection is the climax of our salvation. And if Christ is not risen, again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ is not raised from the dead, our whole life is nothing but false hope. We've spent money. We've built buildings. We've declared a truth, or what we thought was the truth. If Christ is not risen from the dead, let's go home. Let's sell chicken. Open up a chicken restaurant. Come on. The reason, the hinge point, the main point of our whole faith is that on that resurrection morning, when the angel of God came down and rolled the stone away, Jesus burst forth. Come on, somebody. He took his own blood and sprinkled it on the holy things in heaven, so that all of creation could see that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, it would be wonderful if that's the only resurrection. Thank God that he resurrected. If all that he did was give us a good life and we died without the resurrection, I think we should still be beholden to him. He beat death. But you know what? He loves us so much. Get ready, Christian. This is the healing part. We as believers will also experience the resurrection. Turn with me in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I want to read a little bit more that's in here, so let me get my Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. We in the right church this morning? 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's start in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me tell you, Christian, you and I will experience the great resurrection. We will be united again with our bodies, only they'll be new. God didn't only come to redeem our spirit. He didn't come to just redeem our soul. He came to redeem our whole being. And the last thing that will be redeemed is our bodies. Come on, someone. Get used to it. It's going to be around. It may be new, but it'll be there. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. John chapter 6 and verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44 of the same chapter, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What is that day? It's the day when Christ returns. We'll be reunited with our bodies. In verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus will raise us up on the last day, the day of his return. But I want to put in your spirit, the resurrection is not just then, the resurrection is now. We live a resurrected life, you and I. Yes, our bodies will be returned to us one day after we're dead. But we live a resurrected life. He's given us a new life. Come on, somebody. Romans 6 says we died with him. Turn to somebody and say, I died with Christ, and I'm alive in Christ. So if you died and you're alive, what's that mean? What's the definition of that? You've been resurrected from death. You died and you rose with him. When he came out of that grave on that resurrection morning, you were with him. You're not hearing me. Our resurrection was on that day. Our death was when he died on the cross and said, it is finished. We died with him in that eternal place. May the Lord give you understanding. Watch. Turn to John chapter 11. John 11. We wrongly say that we'll resurrect then. We live the resurrected life now, the resurrection. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, the Scripture says, he will quicken your mortal bodies. The resurrected life pulsates through us as believers. John 11:23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's talking about the resurrection that happened when you got saved. You're not the same person. You're different. You're living a resurrected life. There is a resurrection life that we are living right now. The life of the believer after physical death. When we die and go to be with Christ, the life of Christ continues to animate those who are dead physically. When we die, when this body goes, we don't go to soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those who have gone before are living spiritually with Christ. Their bodies are not with them yet, but they're there. Those who have died and went to heaven and saw people in their bodies, That was a special thing, I guess, that God did. Let me see. There's no bodies in heaven yet, but one, and that's Christ. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 23 says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. To die is to be at home with the Lord. He said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me. We will be with Christ immediately. There's nothing to fear. When our eyes close in death, we'll be with Christ. But we'll be without a body. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. As spirits, they are present with the Lord. As spirits. No mention of soul sleep, as I said, as some have said. Those who died in Christ are present with Him now. We're not going to go, when it says sleep, that's the rest of the Lord. But they're there. They're there waiting for their bodies and waiting for us. They look forward to the last day when they will be reunited with their bodies. The resurrection of the body, the dead in Christ will rise. That means their bodies will rise. The saints are those who have fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. In chapter 4 of Thessalonians, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. My friend, the Christian faith must include the resurrection of the body. It is not the prison house for the soul, as some have said. It's not just a shell containing the real thing. This too will be redeemed. Yes, it's dying. It's supposed to die. But it will be resurrected again. Praise God. You may be saying goodbye to it just for a moment. But it will return. And it will return, as my brother said, better. It's a resurrected body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. It will still be the same body, but it will be different spiritual. We'll be able to do the same things as Christ did. Appear and vanish. At will, passing through solids. Come on, somebody. Woo, can't wait. Come on. Come on. I like to run, and I go out and run, you know, and I'll run 5 miles. And usually the first mile, my body's going, you have to be kidding me. The second mile is, you're still kidding me. You know, when I get about halfway, then something kicks in, and I begin to like it, but it's still a long way. And so I run a certain route, and I know that if I keep running, I'll get back home. And by the time I get to about a half a mile within the house, I can't wait to get home. It takes me 50 minutes to an hour to run it. Sometimes the longest hour I've ever spent. How many know on that day we receive our new bodies, there will be no more time. And travel will be no problem. One of the angels say, I want you to go to Pluto and get so-and-so. I'm there and back in an instant. Resurrected. The resurrection is not just something that we celebrate conveniently once a year. It's something that we live and something that we expect. As Christ is resurrected from the dead and He'll die no more, you and I are resurrected from the dead. We will die no more. Part of us will be left, but we'll live forever in Him. We are living a resurrected life now and an eternal life forever. The resurrection occurs and God partakes in it, all of the Trinity. This resurrection that we wait for our bodies, it will be brought about by the Father. John chapter 5 and verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. So the Father is going to be involved in the raising of our bodies. Jesus is the instrument of the resurrection. He said in John, He said, I will raise Him up on the last day again and again and again in John chapter 11. And the Spirit will enliven us, quicken us. Watch this. Romans 8:11. I made mention of it earlier. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We often talk about the health that God gives us now. How many are thankful for the health that God gives us now? Man, when He heals us, there's nothing like it. There's not even a bill. When He heals, there's not even a bill. We don't even wait for the bill. You know how you go to the hospital and, you know, 6 weeks later, you send a bill and it's like $1 million. It's credulous what we pay for medicine anymore. They were giving me a stress test one time and I had a doctor come in and they were watching the stress test. He had a cup of coffee, stood there for about 10 minutes and we chatted. He left. It was $1,500 for that little talk that he had with me. He didn't even take a stethoscope and use anything. He's just drinking a cup of coffee. But he had to be there while the test was done. How many know Jesus touches us and He doesn't charge anything? There's no bill to wait for. There's nothing we have to pay for. The resurrected Jesus Christ quickens our mortal bodies. But that's not what all is talked about there. Romans 8:11 says He'll quicken our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That means we'll be reunited with this thing right here. Lay your hands on your body. Get used to it because you're going to have it forever. It'll be new. It'll be maybe better looking. I don't know. I don't know if heaven has an ideal weight for everybody, you know. It's weight capacity in heaven. Certainly hope so. I fought the battle of the bulge a long time. How many could say amen? All of what we do, all of who we are, all of what we preach, all of what we confess hinges on this very subject. It's not just something that once a year, say it's Resurrection Sunday and we thank God for raising Christ from the dead. I want you to know, I just want to remind you that we serve a resurrected Lord. He didn't resurrect just when He is the resurrected Christ. And because He loves us, He rose us with Him. We live resurrected lives. And one day, maybe sooner than we think, we'll be reunited. Those who us are alive, some believe He'll come in our lifetime. Our bodies will be changed as we're going up. Come on, somebody. How many husbands wish that would happen when your wife is trying on clothes at the department store? Just change already. Can you imagine? By the time we get in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll know Him because we'll be like Him. Woo! Come on, somebody. I'm very limited as what I can do in this flesh I'm in now. But on that day when He quickens, right here it says, He quickens. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I cannot wait. Thank God for the resurrected life. And I want you to know that God wants to touch you this morning. As I pray, I'm believing that your bodies are going to catch up with this truth. Because we don't need to be sick. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody. Say, I don't need to be sick. I don't want this pain anymore. Yes. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Anybody else? Who'd like to be touched by the Lord? It's gone. Praise God. So as we close today, let's claim the resurrection power of Christ in our bodies. Can you pray with me? Father, I pray with those who need a touch from you, Father. Matter of fact, we all need that touch. But God, I pray for those who need a touch in their bodies that you would quicken their bodies right now. Healing power of Jesus Christ would be theirs. God, we thank you for the systematic way that you declared freedom in our lives. That you not only died on the cross, Christ, and took all of our sin on the cross, but you rose from the dead. You beat death and hell and the grave. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I thank God through Jesus Christ that you've given us freedom. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name.